Let's open our Bible this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I want to talk about a memorial that I think is very important this morning. We'll read the first 14 verses of Exodus, chapter 12. I'll not keep you too awfully long this morning. It'll take enough time to give you some thoughts that I believe are important to the context and to the text that we'll be reading in this service today. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, I appreciate your word today. And Father, if we could focus on one thing today, it'd need to be the cross of Calvary. We dare not ever forget what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. How important this really is, and tragically, how many are dying today without any real conviction and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to look back to this Old Testament example and to make application to bring it forth into New Testament light and share some things with the folks that I believe that each one of us need today. For we pray in the name that is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, or an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall be taken out from the sheep or from the goats, yet shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and sprinkle it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I've entitled the message this morning, A Memorial from Generation to Generation. God did give us some memorials, but He didn't give us a lot of memorials. I believe the main reason for that is that God never wanted a memorial to become a ritual or to take on the connotation of a god. I could point out to you that there were certain things that took on a wrong connotation after it got away from the initial event. For example, the brazen serpent that Moses made and put on the pole in the midst of the camp. After a while, it took on the connotation of a god itself, and it never was intended for that. And a lot of times, memorials take on a connotation that God never intended. But there are certain things that God would give us, some type of a token that would immediately trigger our memory when we were to think about that particular event. And the event that I have read of here this morning, the Passover, is that kind of an event, that kind of a token. He said it would be a memorial from generation to generation. And the reason for that was that God did not want the next generation that was removed from the actual fact to forget the purpose of that day and that event. Do you realize today that a lot of folks have forgotten what Calvary really means? They have forgotten what it meant when they took our Lord Jesus Christ, and really, He gave Himself to the cross. He did. His life was not taken, it was given. But folks have forgotten the purpose of the cross. They've made it everything in the world but the reality and the truth that it was a redemption of lost mankind. And God gave us here in this context, and more correctly gave to Israel, this memorial so that that next generation that was not alive at the time of this, they would see all of the activities of basically what is a week's, actually 8 days of service. On the first day, the women would sweep their houses, removing any leaven from those houses. And then there would be the lamb that would be selected and partaken of, and the other particular elements that would be used in this memorial. And the idea was that whenever those children said, and I put it in the vernacular, "What's going on, Mom? What's going on, Dad?" that they would be told what had transpired in the land of Egypt so that they would never forget what this really meant. Now, I wish I had time this morning, and I don't. But I'd like to remind you that it's important what this church believes today. It'll be important what it believes tomorrow. And it'll be important in the next generation what this church believes. Because we dare not ever forget what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. I believe we ought to have it in our minds, and it ought to be triggered by given events. And in this case, God gave Moses and Aaron direction. Now, the children of Israel were to receive the direction for this Passover, and they were to be participants in it. But the instruction came through Moses and Aaron, which is appropriate and right. But the idea is that there was going to be a new beginning. And that's not blasphemy. Don't misunderstand me. I believe Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'll never intend to give that up as long as I draw breath. I want to hold that truth. But there was something new that happened in my life when the Lord saved me. And I trust something happened in your life when you made whatever profession that you made of Jesus Christ. There's a new beginning. I want you to know that salvation experience to me is this real. I walked into that church building, just me and a preacher that is a dear friend of mine. Sad to say that he's had to give up the pastorate some years ago. He's dealing with Alzheimer's now, and I don't know that he could even begin to formulate a message of any kind at all today. But he and I walked into that church that night. A guilty sinner I was. But I've often made the statement, unless they've changed the church, I believe I could show you where I fell on my face and called upon the name of Jesus Christ. And this I know, that when I walked outside, I looked around and I said, there's something strange about this. I know that these are the same eyes, but yet things are new. There's a different person seeing through these old eyes. Something new, a new beginning in my life. For the years that I'd lived outside the grace of God, all of a sudden to be brought into the full light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would say, honestly, this is a new beginning. I mean, life began for me in the sense that I understood it and knew it. I realized in God's sovereignty that He's omniscient, that He knows all things. I wouldn't want to dispute that fact, but I didn't know all things, but I do know that night the Lord saved me by His marvelous grace. And things changed in my life and became new for me. One who had been filled with doubt and fear before was given confidence and assurance in Jesus Christ. And so as we see this, these two men were told, this is the beginning of months for you. Now, the worldly, he has one birthday. And if he dies that way, that's all he'll ever have. But I've got two birthdays. I have that day that I physically was born into this world. And that's not too far down the road. And I sometimes, just about as soon, not think about it, just to think about it. Except the fact that I am thankful for life. God's given me life. Given me strength to get up and go and still do what I want to do. And that's preach the gospel. But on May the 23rd, 1966, there was a new birth. New person in Jesus Christ. Made alive. He that was dead in trespasses and in sin made alive in Jesus Christ. So there is, for the believer, a new beginning. To the unsaved, life just goes on until the end of life and no renewal, no new beginning, no new birth. Just die in your old sin. And how sad. But anyway, as we look into this particular text this morning, this is the first point I want to leave with you, is that remember that this is a new beginning. Now, the Bible does speak of Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So we're not doing an injustice to make application here. Certainly, we've been given that liberty in the Word of God because the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So we can associate Him with what goes on here. And He literally can give us that new beginning, new life in Jesus Christ. And that's what a lot of folks, most folks need today, is new life in Jesus Christ. Instead of trying to prop up the old man, they need to let him go the way he ought to go. And take our place in that new man, renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is a new beginning. Second thing I believe we need to remember as we look into this text as a memorial, we need to remember that God judges. I'll tell you what, this is a sobering thought. When you think about the land of Egypt, and the Bible said, the firstborn in every house, and the firstborn of every beast in this land would die that night. Now, you talk about a great host. We need to remember that when God deals, He's dealing seriously. I sometimes am appalled at the idea of the theology that is advocated today. Thank God for the men that instructed me, that they taught me something about God and to reverence God. I remember one man that went to sleep in Dr. Luther Peake's class. And after he got through, Dr. Peake did get through speaking to that man, I said, I may sleep in anybody else's class, but I won't sleep in this man's class. But he associated with what he was teaching. He pointed out the fact he was there, he was sharing the Word of God. And if there was anything important, that was. And he got on to him about the fact he's sleeping. I realize it, because I spent a few of those nights. This is not a boast. This is just, as old boy said, just facts. There were some nights that I'd work 12 hours. I'd go home and shower. I'd dress so that I'd be ready to go. And I'd lay down on the couch and I'd doze a little while. Reese would wake me up so that I could be the 7 o'clock class. And I'd get off at 4:42 in the morning. Those nights got a little short. But I'll tell you what. What I was getting was worth far more than the sleep. But I was getting the truth, the Word of God. And I was getting some theology. I was getting the knowledge of a God that could do something for me and with my life. But I want you to know that I know this truth and have learned this truth, that this great God does judge. He was going to judge Egypt that night. He said, in fact, I'll go through the land. Now, oftentimes, and I think that the death angel did accompany the Lord. But do you ever notice it's the Lord who said, I'll go through the land? No hard help there. This is God Himself. He's the one that's a rightful judge, and He'll do the judging. And He'll judge men as they are. We need to remember that. We never dare forget that. And yet we've got people that will stand and say, oh, God loves so much that He'll never judge. Man, I'm surprised He leaves any of us alive at all. Now, I know the truth about man, rebellion against God, but I remember this truth that God will judge. And God intended that Israel never forget that. Third thing this morning. We need to remember that God is looking for blood. Now, He's not looking for blood to take blood or not to kill a person, but He's looking for blood applied. He's looking for blood applied. Now, there's some truth in that ceremony that they went through. I'm going to take time to draw you the picture here, and you'll forgive me for taking a little extra time this morning. But do you realize that whenever that priest slew that animal and caught the blood in the basin, he set the blood at the bottom of that door. He struck up to the right and to the left and above it. And with the pan below, you've got a cross. There's a cross that goes through this Bible. I would love to have heard that preacher of bygone days who on New Year's every year, would preach the message of Scarlet Thread. If I remember correctly, it took him 4 hours to preach that message, but had some break in it, just for the sake of the folks that were there. But we sometimes think about if a guy preaches past 15, 20 minutes, he's preached too long. Well, you get somebody to preach 4 hours. And this man would, but he'd go start with Genesis and follow the blood trail all the way through to the last book, the last chapter in the Bible, presenting Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. We need to remember that that night God was looking for blood on the doorpost. He was not looking for what these Israelites might have made of themselves. He was not looking for what they might have attained in life, but he's looking for blood. And he's looking for the blood that he has described to Moses and Aaron so that they, the children of Israel, would put up the lamb and observe it. And when it came to the 14th day from the 10th day, that lamb would be slain, or that animal would be slain and the blood applied. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I want you to know this morning that if I had one thing to be grateful for, it'd be this, that when God sees me, He doesn't see me as I was naturally, but He sees me in Jesus Christ. And that makes a world of difference. It makes an eternity of difference this morning. We need to remember that God's looking for blood. And I just interjected this, just, I guess, since I'm the preacher, I can. Look for the Lamb. Look for the Lamb. Now, I realize that that was a physical lamb, but that lamb was a type. But outside the city of Jerusalem on the hill Calvary, the Lamb of God did die. No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He laid it down and He took it again. And I want you to know that I'm convinced because He could do that, He can save this sinner. Look for the Lamb. I'll forget about a lot of this theology that comes out of the liberal books of today and do nothing to satisfy the longing in our hearts for God as He really is. Settle on this book, the Word of God, that tells you of a lamb that could lay down His life. He could shed His blood. And He can save to the uttermost this morning. Look for the Lamb. Let's stand together. Musicians come. Heads bowed with me, the rest. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You for the service today and even this Memorial Day. And I realize the world has made it a holiday and it's fun and games to most. But this is not fun and games as we think of Calvary. It's not fun and game to a lot of families today. Lord, this is reality. Folks need Jesus Christ far more than they need anything else in this world. And I'd pray that there'd be that moving of God's Holy Spirit in our land to bring us to a place again of genuine faith in the Lord, that we might call on Him who can save to the uttermost. And Father, in this service this morning, as we commit the invitation to You, we're persuaded that You're the Savior, the only Savior, and the one that every person needs. And we'll trust Your will to be done in hearts and lives, for I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.